Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
Welcome back. It has been a long, long, long week. Away from each and every one of you, please let me be the first to say that I missed every one of you.
That's so sweet of him.
I missed each and every one of you. I missed you so bad.
Not as much as I did.
Oh, did you miss us, JC?
Absolutely.
Well, I missed you too. It has been one of those weeks. It's been all over the place. People have been constantly contacting me on email and Facebook, like, what happened when you went to court? And unfortunately, I have a surprise for everybody. I will get into that later.
A surprise?
Yeah, of course it's a surprise. You have to stick around and wait for it. Well, this isn't a surprise to you. I've already told you.
Well, duh.
But it's a surprise nonetheless, and I will tell each and every one of you that thing. But let's start where it's most important.
Let's start with Happy Friday.
That's right. It is Friday. We have to do one thing because I don't even know if JC knows this, but I told Mary about this, and she was surprised to find this out. I looked it up. And I found out that we have a reason to celebrate today on January 1st of all days.
Of January 1st
I'm
or
sorry.
June 1st?
June 1st. Why did I say January 1st?
Hello.
January 3rd is when we started.
No thunderstorms and tornadoes on January 1st.
Okay. June 1st. We started in January 3rd. June 1st, we are celebrating our 100th show.
Oh, okay.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, please go to radio today. All right, stop applauding, relax. We are celebrating our 100th show right here on blogtalkradio.com. It has been a tremendous journey for each and every one of us for several reasons. One, the grounds and the moves that we've been able to make, if you really think about what it is that we've done, we were a little show that started on Blog Talk Radio. Very few people knew about us. The only thing that we used to promote ourselves was the social network, and that's Facebook and Twitter. We've grown
tremendously.
We have had guests beyond belief. We have gotten recognition beyond belief. And that in less than 6 months' time. And the people who have come out of the woodwork, who have come to support us, have been tremendous. Just yesterday and today, two really, really great people have come forward to show their support for Reese on the Radio. One of them being a former colleague in Philadelphia. I won't tell you who he is yet, but I will tell you we're going to make some moves with him very soon. I auditioned with this man back in 2007. In Philadelphia. I'll talk about him in the coming days. We got a phone call from yesterday from a person who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, who is in the music business. And we're talking about a guy who is associated with the likes of Michael Jackson, Alicia Keys. Who else was on that list?
Jay-Z.
This is a real bigwig. Jay Records. Clive Davis, this is a bigwig in the music industry who contacted me yesterday and has pretty much said to me, Reese, whatever you need. So it couldn't come at a more appropriate time than as we come back to Restart the Radio to do our 100th show. And I want to thank everyone who has been a part of that and who's been a part of our growth, who jumped on board. It's been tremendous. It's really, really been a great deal for all of us. We are really, really excited about what it is that we're going to do in the coming months and in the coming years as Resona Radio broadens, I guess, its brand, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Mary, nothing to say, or I guess I'm just throwing it to you, am I?
I mean, what else can I say? You've said everything.
Yeah, I guess that's it. So, JT,
well, we're looking for a little something more than that, Mary.
Well, yeah, we all. Anyway, but the point is.
Wow. What did you just say, JC?
We're looking for a little something more than that.
It's okay.
Okay, what else can I say? Check it out. Happy Friday. Happy 100th anniversary show to Reese on the Radio. And
something along
the
lines of what this ride has meant to you?
Yeah,
has it meant anything to you?
This ride for me has changed my life and has changed the direction that my life was going into. And not that my life is going in a bad direction, but just has taken me onto another road. And, I mean, the things
it's
that I've
It's been a hell of a journey, correct?
What?
It's been a hell of a journey.
Oh, it's been a hell of a journey. but you know what? It's almost like the journey has just begun because the journey is going to continue.
Listen,
and it's going to get even better.
Let me tell you, since April 1st, 2004, it has always been my dream to grind a mic with this dude. And
wow.
That's only fulfilling half my dream. The first part of that dream was I wanted his job.
Did you?
Of course
you wanted
his job.
That's true. That's true.
How many times I told you that?
Yeah, no, you're right.
And I don't think that I could have done it. I don't think that I could have done it. I had no idea what I was up against. All I knew is that I had to piss you off and aggravate you as much as I possibly could.
Hey, that was the way I got into the business. So I appreciate where you're coming from because, you know, DX21, who was the news guy on the Star and Buck Wild show, you know, I went after him, and that going after him got me involved with Star and Buck Wild. So, I mean, I totally respect that. You know, one good turn deserves another. But the friendship and the relationship and the brotherhood that you and I have come to have today, you know, is evident. And, you know,
right.
Since, man, and
the other half of that dream was to grind with the entire brand, period. If you remember, I came down for the sportscaster.
Yes, for the sportscaster. You even came down for the audition. Did you come down for the audition for the new replacement?
Not for that. I come down and did some recordings and some other things, and we were supposed to do the whole Philly deal with the dance
right.
in the club.
That's absolutely right.
I was supposed to do. I mean, I was there for I would say quite a bit, and believe it or not, and I don't want to sound corny or even sound ass kissy, but grinding with the top. What's that?
No, say it again. Grinding with?
Grinding with the evil genius himself is still a part. That's the other half of my dream.
Well, I appreciate it nonetheless. Again, if you're just joining us, it is Reese on the Radio's 100th show. We're going to get into a whole slew of topics. We have to. We have so much to get into. Let me just begin by saying this. We are going to talk about George Zimmerman because
on
the line right now, and I know that he is dying to talk about this, is Derek the Bounty Hunter. And before he says anything, I don't care what anybody says, this new information about George Zimmerman, that's all it is. It's nothing. That's all it is.
Bed's gonna be a whole lot in 48 hours.
It's nothing. It's nothing.
Okay.
Well, for you it ain't nothing because your bond ain't been revoked, but a homeboy's ass, you got 48 hours to turn yourself in, my
How did Dougie Fresh say it? You ain't really doing. You ain't really saying. That's what Dougie Fresh said. You ain't really doing. So we'll let the guys get in on that. Let them scream and holler about it. George Zimmerman, if you haven't heard the story, breaking news today, because of a conversation that he and his wife had in some sort of, I guess, some jailhouse conversation, that he lied about the amount of money that he did indeed have, which, by the way, I'm almost certain is going to prove to be nothing. But they're saying that because he ended up having more money than he claimed to have at his bond hearing, that he lied to the judge about them being destitute. And therefore, his bail has been revoked and he will be forced to return to jail within the next 48 hours. Now, everyone's going to talk about that. Derek the Bounty Hunter is going to talk about that. I'm sure James Kool-Aid Man Montgomery is going to talk about that. But what I want to know is, what does that have to do with the case? And if you can't tell me that, don't even get on the mic.
Oh, it doesn't have anything to do with
it. I have a lot to do with the case. Yes, it does.
Oh, no. I know, JC. I know where you're going to go, but I'm going to refute that. But let's let the guys get in. Let the guys get in. Derek the Bounty Hunter and James Kool-Aid Man Montgomery's on line. Derek, you go ahead first, because I got your message screaming at me over the phone. He's a lie. He's a lie.
What's going on, Rich?
What's going on, D?
Hey, listen, he not only lied about the money, he lied about having a passport also.
Well, he had a passport that had...
Dude, but they... come on. See, you forget about the second one, too, just like his wife forgot about the money, too, right? Come on. And they caught him four times lying in code about the amount of money.
Derek, it's been 3 months. If that passport was relevant, he'd have been gone already. He's never been gone.
He could take off anytime. He could drive across the border.
So he never did it.
He could jump on a boat and leave. Yeah, but he could have. They told him to turn in his passport. He said he didn't have one. Okay. And then you say, hold on. Then we sit over here and we talk about the money. They have him on four recordings with his wife talking about, well, do I only have 100 in my account? No, 155. I guess y'all really thought they meant $155, huh?
Whoa, hold on. First of all, that money that he gained was for his legal defense. It's not for his personal use.
Hold on, when he went for his defense.
So any money that he obtained for his legal defense has nothing to do with his personal assets. That's where
when he went to his bond hearing, he said he had no money, and they can show that he had at least $155,000 in that account for his defense. That's why when the prosecutor said they wanted him to get $1 million bond, they said no, he had no money. Look, $100,000 will cover $1 million bond, dude.
All right, in good faith, hold on, in good faith, what George Zimmerman obtained in legal defense, was for legal defense, and as that money in no way can be considered accrued money that goes into his own personal account. It cannot be.
Legal, bonding out of jail is part of your legal defense, too, man. You have to get on the ground, right? $100,000 will cover $1 million bond, dude.
Even if they raise the bond, the bottom line is, if they raise the bond, so what? But the point is that he didn't lie about what his personal
assets. He lied. They have four conversations with him and his wife. Well, he didn't say, did I have $100,000? And she said, no, you have $155,000. He said, do I have $100,000? She said, no, $155,000. They know she was riding in code. They know he was talking in code.
But it doesn't matter whether or not they were talking in code, Derek. What matters is whether or not he had personal assets to that amount. Is that fair?
No, wait a minute.
And then Reese, listen to this, Reese. This is how I scream help. Help! Okay? Help! See, that sounds just like me, right? If somebody's jumping on top of me, help! Give me a break. That dude's a liar.
All right, go ahead, Barry. Go ahead.
So, first of all, whether the assumption is that they were talking in code or not, the issue is, if that's what the recording says, where she says, no, you have 155, you can't make an assumption that it's $155,000. You can't. Whether you
can't. That's how much you have, though.
What?
Yeah, but Derek, it doesn't matter.
You can't make that
Derek, it doesn't matter. You can't make the association. She does not say the words. What you're doing, see, this is what I, wait, Derek, this is what I don't understand. Derek, this is what I don't understand. When you're talking about somebody that you're ardently against in a case, you can make any assumption that you want to. Now, I'm going to use that in this case, in the case with me. You see what I'm saying? Anybody can make an association to what it is that they want to believe, right? You want to believe that he's a liar, and when he said 100 versus 155, and make that association to, now, you're making a far stretch as to what it was that they were talking about. It's speculative at best. We cannot, okay, so now you're saying that speculation is now fact, and you know that's not true, Derek.
Dude, why do you think the judge revoked his bond? Because the judge thinks, what do you
dude,
guys
no,
think?
No, no, no. Here's why.
Moron here. $100, $100, and $155. He just happened to have $155,000. And you really think they were talking about $155?
Hear the interview?
You really think the judge is stupid, don't
you? Derek, did you hear the interview with his lawyer today? Is that the lawyer clearly said that unlike what's being reported, the truth is that the judge is asking him to come in, turn himself in, they're revoking, and to explain what the prosecutor is alleging. And that doesn't mean that the judge doesn't believe him. It means that the judge is saying, okay, they've got legitimate cause. That's all it is, cause, to come in and reevaluate what was said in your bail bond hearing, and we'd like to know the truth, and we'd like to assess whether or not it's true or not that he indeed wasn't forthcoming about his finances. This is Derek, tell me it's something different. The judge has already made it clear. I know what the judge said. I got the data. The judge says, we need you to turn yourself in within the next 48 hours so that we can reassess on Monday what it is that the prosecutor is suggesting about your finances. And they will have a fair opportunity to say what this money was and what this money is not about assets. This money was not obtained as an asset. This money was obtained as a legal defense. It was, Derek.
And they people said that he had no money. They even got his wife testifying saying, no, he don't got no money.
Derek, hold on.
He has $55,000 in an account, dude.
Derek, if he started an account, a PayPal account, directly, to support him as a legal fund. This is not an asset unless he takes that money and puts it in his own personal bank account. It isn't
in his money.
What is his personal assets? His personal assets are honestly zero, zilch. And
well, you don't know that.
GeorgeZimmerman.com or whatever the account was. Come on, man, dude. Like I said, y'all really think the judge is a moron, don't y'all?
No, really, they think
the judge is stupid.
The evidence that he had no personal assets that exceeded the money that they got the bond for. That's the reason why they got it. Is that
dude,
they had no
assets. He had assets.
No, no,
he had $155,000 in a PayPal account. That's an asset, dude.
Again, a PayPal account that was for his legal defense. And
bonding out of jail is part of your legal defense, dude.
I agree with you. Derek, I agree
with
that.
I bond people out of jail every day.
Is it a part of their legal defense, dude?
Yes, it is. You got to get your butt out of jail or you want to...
No, it has to be a part of your legal defense.
That is part of the legal process. So how is it not
I
a
agree
part
with you
of
there.
Your
I agree with you.
How
there.
Is it not a part of your legal defense? If you so choose to use that because you're offered that process, then you choose to use whatever funds you have that you would allocate that. If you were doing a financial statement, you would have to allocate that fee into your financial statement for legal.
Okay, I'm willing to I'm willing to accept what your premise. I'm willing to accept that. But here's what I'm saying. Let's say that when you hire an attorney, what is the first thing that the attorney asks you for before they give you what their fee is? What's it called?
I don't know because
well, come on, Derek. What's it called?
Oh God, I'm trying to sit there thinking. I'm sorry. I'm watching
okay. First of all, it is called a retainer.
Okay.
Yeah, retainer.
All right.
Yeah.
That's
he said
right.
He had no money. He said he had no money.
Wait,
dude.
But with $150,000, is that a legitimate retainer?
But wait a minute. At the same
yes, it is.
Wait a minute. Well, wait. At the same time, who is present in your bail or your bond hearing? And who's talking
the
for
attorney.
You? The attorney. Hello? Part of your legal fees.
Again, but...
Your attorney...
You have to have an attorney.
And if I can jump in here real quick.
Ed?
If I can jump in real quick. If I do recall correctly... That PayPal account that was set up with that website that he did on his own without his attorney's knowledge, prior to the attorney that he's got right now, that was also for his living and day-to-day expenses as well.
Oh, you're going to have to go to that website and see where that is, because what that website specifically says, and we read it here on the air, was for his legal defense.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes, it was. This is nothing more. To be honest with you, this is nothing more than a trick by the prosecutor to try to get him. All right.
No.
Let's go to the phones.
Caller.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sal in Revere, Massachusetts. Sal, you're on with Reese on the radio. How you doing, Sal?
How you guys doing? Congratulations on the 100th show. Excellent.
Thank you, sir.
Fantastic. So I agree with Reese for the most part. I think the issue is not so much a legal issue, but this what they're trying to do is put – if they can make this guy look like he's not telling 100% of the truth, it goes to his credibility, they will then try to use that against him in the trial. So I don't know and I also heard that this judge actually felt had a lot of pressure on him because of the fact that he set that bail so low. So
well, that is also
– going on here.
But that's also true. But what I do know about this particular judge is he's a no-nonsense judge. He's a former military guy. He does not fold to political or even sort of like social pressure. He won't stand for that. He felt – that was the reason why he sort of dismissed this whole thing about what people were going to say on a social level or the outrage by the community. He didn't care about any of that because he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. But he was willing enough to at least entertain the prosecution's assertion that George Zimmerman may not have been as forthcoming about his financial standing. And I appreciate that.
What about the day, go ahead. At the end of the day, though, I think what happens here is that they maybe changed the actual, a bond? They'll change the value of it, maybe make him come up with additional money, but I do not see him being incarcerated over this. I can't imagine that's where this is heading. I think this is all about trying to make this guy look a little bit like he's not 100% up front. And it may be, well, I mean, do you think this is coming from the prosecution? It certainly would suit them if they could make him look dishonest.
I agree with you, Sal. I agree that this is just an effort on the prosecution's part to try to make him look like he's not credible.
Right. Well, that's great. I'm glad everybody feels that. But see, here's the case. What happens at his bond hearing and about the credibility issue about whether or not his finances were what he says it was, or tell me where this particular hearing has any bearing on his honesty on what happened on February 26th. Where does this
It's bearing on him being honest and forthcoming.
I'm
with
so
anything.
Glad you said that. But he will never ever, George Zimmerman will never ever have past indiscretions be a part of a case of his credibility in this trial unless he takes the stand. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, let's be real about this. This is public. This is going to be all over the news.
It's well, that's why.
It's public opinion.
I appreciate the court of public opinion that people will feel as though he's being dishonest, but they will not be able to present this issue in the matter of trial. They're not going to be able to say George Zimmerman is a killer who lied about why.
But the jurors in the case.
But let me
hold on. No,
we'll know
I'm,
about it.
But the jurors in the case, have they done the jury selection?
No, of course not.
So everybody, so media is everywhere.
That's
for
right.
Everybody. So they don't have jurors yet. When they pick the jurors, of course these jurors will have
may or
known,
may not know.
May or may not know. And probably will know because probably will.
I'm
probably.
Glad you said that. Because
they
if there is more information, the fact that this case is in Florida and the fact that this story has gotten national and international attention, the lawyer will have the right, Mark Romero will have the right to ask for a change of venue, and he'll get it. Anybody dispute
but even
it?
If he gets
hold
a
on.
Change of venue,
this is what I'm saying.
It's not
anybody,
just Floridians
hold on, hold on,
that are watching the news.
I understand that. But anybody disagree with that? Anybody
no,
disagree?
The national case, at point, I don't think you can move it anywhere. That,
well,
I don't think you can move it far enough
right.
away that people aren't going to know pretty much all that's happening by the time this thing actually goes to trial.
Well, don't forget, guys, anybody remember the Rodney King trial against the five officers who beat him? They got a change of venue. And
they got a
happened.
Change of venue. They got a change of venue for what's the name? The girl.
Casey Anthony.
Didn't they get a change of venue?
And they
that?
Got an acquittal both times.
I know.
So what I'm saying is that don't think Casey Anthony, big story. Rodney King, big story. It created the 92 riots, guys. A change of venue means a lot. And what they're going to get in the George Zimmerman case is a change of venue, considering the fact that this happened in Sanford, Florida. They're going to get a change of venue. And the fact that he lied, if they discern that he did lie, if they discern that he did lie about this, it won't play a factor into the event that took place on February 26th. It holds no merit. What he lied about. Go ahead, Sal.
I mean, I don't disagree, Reese, but it's going to be in the minds of the jury, and that's more powerful than anything that's said in that room.
But it's only in the minds of the jury if it's presented as evidence. And if it can't be presented as evidence, it's in the minds of the jury.
It is.
It cannot.
They've seen it in the media.
We will be able
correct.
To discern that when they ask them, what have you heard about this case? What do you know about this case? That's what jury selection is all about.
Well,
do
then
you
how
know
long
about
is,
this case?
Then okay, yes, I've sat in a jury. I know.
Go ahead.
So how many people do you think they're going to have to go through? I mean, what you're saying is that they're just going to say, no, we don't want this juror because they know too much about the case. They've been influenced by the media too much. They've already prosecuted him in society, outside of the legal court. So how many people are they going to have to go through or to, you know, where are they going to have to? They'll start have to dig
this,
and dead
well,
people
let me,
up
it's funny that you say this.
To sit on
because
a jury
remember, this,
that don't know about this
Mary,
case.
This hurts both sides of the case. Let me explain it to you. If you look at the national poll today, in fact, I'll look at an unscientific poll that just came out. You and I watched this ourselves. On Bill O'Reilly, they asked the question about whether or not George Zimmerman would be found guilty or not guilty. Over 90% of the people, out of 20,000 people polled, over 90% said not guilty. This will hurt the prosecution if they will try to get a jury to convict him based upon what you guys are saying. That George Zimmerman is a liar. He's got an overwhelming amount of support. The prosecutor doesn't want this case where it is. They want it out of venue. They will not be able to persecute or prosecute George Zimmerman in the court of public opinion because most of the people who have followed this case believe that George Zimmerman has been wronged. So it doesn't help the prosecution in any way that this story comes out. In fact, I promise you there are more people who believe that this story is a smear campaign against George Zimmerman to make him out to be a liar on evidence that has nothing to do with what took place on February 26th.
And
tell me I'm wrong.
Why did he lie about the passport?
It was a not. First of all, the passport hadn't even been stamped. It wasn't even a usable passport. He had forgotten all about the second passport.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I forgot about my passport too, Reese.
Where's he in? Hold on. Has he left the country, Derek?
And Derek, if you want to talk about people having passports and stuff like that, I mean, if that's the case, then they should keep everybody that gets locked up and not put anybody out on bail or bond. Anybody. Anybody.
Let's let Kool-Aid man James Montgomery back in because he left a second ago. James, I'll let you get the last word before we take a break.
Okay. All right. First and foremost, sorry. I'm having a storm out here. It's messing with my network.
James, we ain't got a 211 going on tonight, do we?
Are we going to go on? You know what? I'm not even answering that question. Anyway.
Go ahead, James.
Okay. The fact of the matter is, all right, credibility has been a huge issue in this case. And whether it's with the court of public opinion or in the courts in and of themselves is neither here nor there. You yourself, Mr. Hopkins, has brought in fact after fact after fact of Trayvon Martin not being the angel he is portrayed to be.
Right.
Okay.
Now,
now we have a situation where George Zimmerman isn't the victim he's being portrayed.
Based upon what?
Based upon the fact that, you know what, if he lied about this, he's, you know, he could lie about something else. It kills his whole credibility.
No, James. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It does not.
No. Derek, first of all, you're absolutely wrong. But you know what? We're never, ever going to win. I can't convince anybody
The thing is, Reese, you know, you and Mr. Mike, hi, Mike, by the way.
Mike have
brought up other things, all right, like the Skittles and the watermelon juice and everything like that. Now, you know, and again, it's been skewed towards making Trayvon Martin not seem as innocent. Well, and you said yourself, well, if that's not the case, then who knows? Well, here it is. George Zimmerman has now put himself in the same situation.
Yeah, James, I'm going to go with you're completely off base. The bottom line is that one doesn't have to do the other.
It doesn't fit your diatribe. It doesn't fit your way of putting things. What's the word you like to use? Your
narrative.
Narrative. Thank you.
Help! Help!
Are you sure he's not on 211?
JC, last word. We'll take a break. When we come back, we got to talk about Mayor Bloomberg.
Yeah, I discovered that 211 one while on vacation as well. I got robbed a couple times.
We'll be back in 300.
No, I wasn't quite done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
I just wanted to read something to you real quick.
Go for it.
I have created a PayPal account solely linked on this website so that I would be able to provide an avenue to thank my supporters personally and to ensure that the funds provided are used for living expenses and legal defense. In lieu of my forced inability to maintain employment, I will also personally maintain accountability for all funds received. I reassure you, every donation is appreciated. Those are George Zimmerman's words.
Ooh! Good job, JC. Good job. So he paid this PayPal account for not only persons, but
what
not,
you
only
got to pay now, Reese?
Not only people, now persons as well, because he's unable to maintain employment during his time of trials and tribulations.
It's Reese on the radio. Don't listen to a word they said, damn it. Liars.
Even your stuff.
All right, I got nothing to say.
All right. JC, happy 100, my man. You shut your boy down.
Oh, the hell with you guys.
You should have saw the look on his face after you had read the whole thing.
It's Reese on the radio. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
3 years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold onto the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back. 20 minutes to the top of the hour right here on June 1st, 2012, Rabbit Rabbit, and it's our 100th show. For those of you who are just joining us, Reese on the Radio celebrates its 100th show right here on blogtalkradio.com. Don't forget the numbers 347-308-8701. Sal, I wasn't expecting you to hang up. We wanted to keep you in the conversation. If you want to call back, please do. The number's 347-308-8701. We're hoping to hear from Mike tonight out in Florida. I hope we hear from Edward in Connecticut. Hoping that we hear from Julie. Julie, you can send us anything from tweet, you know, to Facebook. You know where we are. It's Reese on the Radio at Facebook. And you can, of course, contact us on reeseontheradio.com anywhere, anytime you like. Okay, so the guy stumped me. All right, good old JC, who is the perfect producer. Okay, yes, the money was for his personal usage, George Zimmerman. Okay, so fine. I guess that he'll end up going to jail. I guess everybody's going to be happy. They're so happy that he's going to go to jail.
It's not about being happy that he's going to go to jail. It's about, listen, if this is a statement that he made, if this is what he says to people that are out there, he's asking for donations. This is his story.
You guys have a personal friend. You guys, wait. You guys have a personal friend who spent 2 years and 5 months in jail.
I'm not saying he's guilty.
And you guys, you've taken sides on this.
I have not.
When I say you, I mean you guys. You guys have taken a side on this, on Trayvon Martin's side. You don't care about the evidence. You don't know what happened that night. You've already made a determination.
No, nobody's discussing that right now. What the subject of tonight, now stop, because I'm going to stump you right now. I'll stump you too, just like JC did.
Go for it.
Nobody is, at least on my part. Okay, let me speak for me.
Yeah, please.
The subject matter of this topic was about what he was getting those funds for. And your analogy was, he was getting those funds for his legal defenses, when in fact that is not the truth. He was getting those funds for legal fees, for personal living fees, because he was unable to keep a job with his current legal situation, and he had to provide for his family.
The death threat
away, and he would be forthcoming and truthful as to anything and everything he had received on both sides. And then he went and lied about it. Those are the facts. That's what we were talking about.
Lied about it? Why, using the word lie?
He did lie about it.
Using the word lie?
He's saying he had no money. He had money. It's a lie.
All right, fine. Okay, all right. You guys win this round.
And your argument was
not necessarily. No, we don't necessarily win it. We don't win it that easy.
No.
We don't win it that easy. Because let me explain to you. The reason why we don't win that easy is because while we do have that money that's in his PayPal account, some of them are actually were promises of money.
Right.
Unless that individual has already put that money through, and then it takes another 5 days for it to be liquid to get into his private account. It takes 5 days for PayPal, however many days for his own bank to accept it
Well, I think, JC, it's fair to say that he's had enough time for anybody's contributions to at least clear 5 days. It's been 3 months.
The thing is that the judge was asking, at the time of his bond hearing, how much he had liquidly available to him.
Okay, that's fit. Okay, fine. I appreciate you at least saying that, because that's true. We don't know how much it was on the day that he actually had the bond hearing, and that's fair to say. But no,
right.
I concede that you guys are right. JC, you completely stumped me. If it's part of it is what he asked for to be living expenses, then fine. He was considerably disingenuous. I concede that I was wrong.
Disingenuous.
What everybody else is harping on is the fact that he's trying to cover his own ass with a little bit of money. Imagine how much of the story of covering his own ass he's going to have to do about shooting his boy. It
well,
goes to his credibility.
Well, I don't think he has anything to do with anything. No. But I want to get into this. Look, we've talked about this enough. It's really a non-issue.
Okay.
Oh, you guys are not. Come on now.
No, we're not going to let you do that. We're not going to let you do that at all.
Yeah. In the immortal words of Beavis. Okay.
So wait, it's a non-issue now.
Because how is it a non-issue now? Getting off topic here, as I was talking to JC when we were in commercial, 2 weeks ago, you and Mr. Mike had made a point of, we were talking about the writer in Barack Obama's book.
His publisher's
book. Now, you tried to make it seem like he lied. He was being, it's not disingenuous, but he lied. All right? You two were all about that. We were saying this is non-issue. Years later, non-issue. You didn't say that. You said it's an issue because it speaks to his credibility and his veracity. This is the same. You can't now go back and backtrack.
But James, how does this have any veracity to what happened the night of February 26th?
Okay. Not that it has to do with the night of February 26th. All right. The thing is, here's the point that everybody seems to be forgetting. All right. Even with the post that he put on Facebook before that, when he went for bail, this was before he started asking for the monetary help. This was before. Alright?
Okay, yeah.
The matter is, he asked for the monetary help because he said he didn't have any money.
But he didn't, James. He didn't have any money. Is his personal assets, he had no money, which is, of course, the template to why he was asking for financial help. He had
right.
no money.
So right. wait a minute. But so, from what I'm hearing is, the fact of the matter is, they were saying his wife has been moving money around. That's the question. Did you have it
no,
when
that
you
money
said
thing, that money he was moving around is from the PayPal account.
Right. And we do not know, as JC just poignantly pointed out, that we do not know whether or not that was a physical asset or not, and we'll know that when we have the hearing. Is that that's my point? A liquid asset. We will not know that until the hearing bears out, which will be in 48 hours.
Okay.
Or Monday, for that matter.
But either way, it still suits his credibility all to hell.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, but...
You
don't
want to believe it, but we'll see.
Okay, I guess we will.
Time will tell is basically what I'm trying to say.
Hey, look, we're one of the only people and one of the only shows that have been trying this case on the air.
On both sides. On the air and on both sides.
You're absolutely
fair
right.
and balanced.
Look, I hate to be a defense attorney for good reason because I've gone through this, but that's what
yeah,
it is.
Like
yeah, well, you know what? You're not the only one.
Okay, can we move on? Can we move on to Mayor Mike Bloomberg?
What did he do?
Okay.
Oh, did the soda thing?
Oh, Bloomberg,
yes.
Relax.
Hold on.
Soda.
Wait. Before anybody says anything, this is what I want to say, because I don't want anybody to jump in on this. I need you to hear this yourselves, okay? Now, as we all know, and this story has been breaking everywhere, that Mayor Mike Bloomberg of New York is now forcing people, he has now proposed a law that will stop people like 7-Eleven, restaurants,
Starbucks.
Even Starbucks, from selling anything to their,
their patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
anything larger than a 16-ounce sugary drink. Okay? So I want you to hear what it is that he said, and this is a question of whether or not Mayor Mike Bloomberg is pushing a nanny state narrative. I need you to hear the last part of his interview with Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC. Listen to what he says and tell me whether or not this man is a totalitarian.
You announced this on a Thursday. Today is Friday, and it's a national holiday. You know what the holiday is?
It is National Donut Day.
That's right. And you're...
Sorry, wait. Wrong. I apologize. This is the audio.
Well, the way it would work is simply those organizations, that those industries that we regulate, which are restaurants and movie theaters and carts, they can still sell 32 ounces of a sugar drink to you, but they'd have to put it in two containers. And the idea here is you tend to eat all the food in the container in front of you. If it's a bigger container, you'll eat more. If somebody put a smaller glass or plate or bowl in front of you, you would eat less. And at this point, there's an epidemic in this country of people being overweight, bordering on obesity. The number of percentage of the population that's obese is skyrocketing. In New York City alone, the number of deaths from smoking has declined so much and the number of deaths from obesity has gone up so much, those two are about to cross. We're going to have more deaths from obesity than from smoking. We've got to do something about it. Everybody's wringing their hands saying, got to do something. Well, here is a concrete thing. You can still buy large bottles in stores, but in a restaurant, 16 ounces is the maximum that they would be able to serve in one cup. If you want to order two cups at the same time, that's fine. It's your choice. We're not taking away anybody's right to do things. We're simply forcing you to understand that you have to make the conscious decision to go from one cup to another cup.
We are forcing you to understand. Forcing you to understand. Now, I want to play this because I accidentally played this audio. This is Matt Lauer doing what I call accidental journalism. Because, see, guys like Matt Lauer and NBC, they love Mike Bloomberg. So he announces this thing that they will not be selling larger beverages in restaurants and stores. Right? Larger restaurants and, like, patron-oriented stores like 7-Eleven. You won't have a beverage larger than 16 ounces. But if you go to a grocery store, you can buy the 2-liter, you can buy the 64, you can buy anything you want in a store. And then Matt Lauer asked him this question also on NBC.
You announced this on a Thursday. Today is Friday, and it's a national holiday. You know what the holiday is?
It is National Donut Day.
That's right. And your administration, it's a real thing, not a national holiday, but it is National Donut Day, and your administration has come out in support of National Donut Day.
Two things.
It sounds ridiculous.
It doesn't sound ridiculous. One donut's not going to hurt you. It's in moderation. Most things are okay. Number two, just think about what National Donut Day is. National Donut Day celebrates a lot of young ladies during World War I called Donut Lassies, who went and gave donuts to our soldiers while they were fighting to protect
Your Honor,
democracy.
That was before obesity was a national epidemic in this country. If anything in moderation works for donuts, why not with soft drinks?
That's exactly what we're trying to do. That's exactly what we're trying to do with soft drinks, is get you to drink in moderation. So instead of getting the big 32-ounce, get 2 16-ounces if you want. But history shows, all the tests show, what you'll do is you'll probably only drink one. Happy National Donut Day. And thank you very much. Good to have you here. Thank you very much.
Sounds good.
Isn't this guy a moron? Isn't this guy a moron? What is with liberalism in this country that now we need to regulate what it is that we drink at the stores? And I want to make one very evident observation. The obesity problem in this country, according to statistics, is higher with children. There's no disputing it, right? Who are the largest patrons of restaurants? Adults. So a kid can go into a store and get a 20-ounce soda. A kid can go into a store and get a 64-ounce, a 2-liter soda. This in no way is attacking the obesity problem that is affecting our youth. It is only affecting adults that go into restaurants. that you can no longer buy anything larger than 16 ounces. How is this putting a dent in the obesity problem? And the follow-up is Mike Bloomberg a totalitarian and a nanny stater? Gentlemen, anybody?
Can I go first?
Yes, you can, James.
Okay. I'm so glad. Because this has nothing to do with totalitarian. Well, actually, I do agree with you. It's going down that road. He's trying to be a totalitarian. However, I don't think it has anything to do with the health of his constituents. Because think about it. All right? Look at what he says and look at the numbers like you like to do. You can buy a 3-liter, 2-liter soda, go home, you can drink that. You're still, I mean, that has nothing to do with your health. You can buy 2 16-ounce, instead of buying a 32-ounce soda at one time, you have to buy 2 16-ounces. It's not about your health. It's money. Hold on. It's about the money. Instead of paying one thing.
I'm willing to agree with you there. It's about the money. But then I would.
The money. Instead of buying one soda, you now have to buy two. And if you buy two, you still have to pay taxes on each.
But, James, this is about personal freedom. Derek, help me out.
Yeah, this is about your personal freedom, but he's not. Okay, that's where we're coming from. But he's not. He's trying to paint it as I'm looking out for the health of my constituents. No, he's just trying to make you spend more.
I agree there. Derek, what do you think? And Derek's gone. Okay.
We lost Derek.
We lost now.
You can't buy anything larger than what, a 16 ounce?
Now the proposal is you can't buy anything larger than a 16 ounce at a store.
At one time.
At
a store.
No, we're talking about like a 7-Eleven. At a 7-Eleven, you can no longer buy a big gulp or a double gulp. You can't buy one of those things. You only can buy a 16 ounce at a store like a 7-Eleven. Or like a Blimpy or a Subway, you are not going to be able to buy that big, large container. And in fact, at the movie theater, you can't buy anything larger than a 16-ounce.
Again, but if you take the 16-ounce and that doesn't fill you, what do you have to do? Because he never said that they were going to stop you from buying more.
Well, no, I understand that, James. Of course he's not going to stop you from buying more, and yes, you're going to go back and you're going to buy more. And of course, the companies are going to retroactively respond to that by saying that we're going to raise that price of the 16-ounce because we're losing that revenue on that larger drink by 2 or 3 cents so that we make a higher revenue. We got Derek back. Oh, come on, Derek. What's with your phone? Anyway.
Well, I'm thinking, what is he going to do in cases where you get free refills?
That will no longer be you can get refills. That's not an argument. He's not making that an issue. But here's what I'm saying. Here's a valid point that somebody brought up, James, and I want you to hear this because this made a valid point. Let's say you and the kids, like me, for instance, right? This is what I used to do with my family. It would be me. There are 4 people in my family. So it's me, my girl, and the 2 kids. So we go to the movie theater, and instead of buying an individual 16-ounce for everybody, we buy 2 big, giant 32 ounces, and the kids share one, and me and the wife share one.
Right.
Okay, but now everybody has a 16-ounce, and that's all they're allowed. And let's say we go to see Lord of the Rings, which is 2.5 hours.
Okay. Once again, you're making my point for me, because now somebody is going to finish their drink early.
Right.
What do you have to do? Either you tell your kids no, which is going to stop you from watching the movie, or you get up and you go buy another one.
Right, and I agree with you, James. We're not in dispute here. Go ahead, Derek.
Listen, okay, now, I live here in Florida, okay, and I have a problem because they have restrictions on drinks down here, too. You know, they don't sell 40 ounces in the state of Florida. So, you know, that problem. No, they don't sell, they sell quarts. They don't even sell 64s down here, you know, and I always felt that, you know, my rights were being infringed upon.
That's alcohol.
He's being facetious here, but you felt as though your rights were being infringed upon because you couldn't buy a 40 ounce?
Yeah, man.
You're the worst. All right. Listen, we got to take a break.
Well, I got to go anyway, fellas. I just wanted to chime in. Oh, happy 100th show.
Well, thank
good
you, James.
Here's to 100 more.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And we're hoping to have 100 more. Derek, are you going to stick around? I can't hear you. Anyway, but stick around. We'll be back at Free Soda Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
How may I help you, my brother?
Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could. Damn it, man, I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
It's Reese on the radio, and we are back 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is June the 1st, 2012, and tonight is our 100th show. I almost want to call it our 100th episode. I always feel like they're episodes, to me personally, because I'm a big TV fanatic. But yes, it is our 100th show. And, oh, good, I got a message from JC. Mike is back from the gym. He's getting fit. I want to see what Mike looks like, because he's always at the gym. He drinks smoothies, too. He's always at the blender. Anyway, it is our 100th show. This is our first show back since our little vacation. And a lot of people have been texting me and asking me about the court case that happened on Wednesday. So, let's break this down briefly. I received news about a day or two before I went down to court. I know I didn't tell you guys, I should have, but we were on vacation and I didn't want to put it on the website. I wanted to tell you guys personally. So as it turns out, the people were not ready. If you don't know that what it is that's happening is this in my court case. The prosecutor in my case, Rachel Ferrari, was desperate to get back into court and to retry me. In July of last year, they made it abundantly clear. If you can look up in the Boston Herald, we will retry Rhys Hopkins in his rape case. That's what they said they'll do. We're going to retry him. They were eager to do that. That trial was supposed to happen on July 20th of last year. We found out later on that the accuser in my case has done anything and everything to avoid coming back to court. They are citing that the accuser is too traumatized to appear in court, and they want to only present the transcript from the first trial. In doing so, she will not be cross-examined again. And, of course, we will be present our witness, which is Detective Robert Arbuzo, who is the detective who my accuser made her initial report to.
He is the defense witness because, as I've mentioned, as everybody else knows, that the accuser changed their story on the stand. Can't be disputed. And now they are going to have a hearing to assess whether or not the accuser is fit to take the stand. And that was supposed to take place on Wednesday. We had months to prepare for this hearing. In fact, it was about 2 months since the last time I went to court, and everyone knew what the date was. We were ready to go. My lawyers are ready to go. We have our witnesses. They are supposed to have theirs. We get into court today. They're not ready because of scheduling. They had 2 months, but they could not fit themselves into the schedule. So now it has been pushed back to June 29th. June 29th, there can be no dispute. Get in the courtroom. Bring these witnesses to prove that the accuser is unfit to take the stand. Now, I know that they are listening. If there's one thing that I know about them is that they are shocked and stunned and appalled. How dare this scumbag, this son of a bitch, how dare this Reese guy come and attack us? How dare him talk crap, talk smack to us? That's because, and I say this to anybody listening who believes otherwise, a guilty man will run and hide. No one ever won anything by defending it, so I attack. If you want this to go down, if you're so righteous, if you are so certain, get in the courtroom. This is where I want this to take place. It's in the courtroom. Get in there. I want this trial. Nobody is supposed to want this trial when they're accused of this heinous crime. Nobody wants this. A guilty son of a bitch wants it to go away. Let's take a deal. Just leave me alone. I just want to move on with my life. No. I want this trial. I want this to take place. Get on the stand. Make your case. Prove to me that this person is ineligible or it has an inability to take the stand. Make it. Don't delay it. The stonewalling is coming from your side. We have not hesitated. Aren't you asking yourself, why does this guy want us in the courtroom so bad? Doesn't this ever jar your brain? Why does this guy want us so bad in that courtroom? What's he got to prove? Got nothing to prove. The only thing I've got is the truth. And it can't be avoided. The truth can never be avoided. Because it's always there. It's more than evident. It's more than just exist. It is. The truth is like the sun. The truth is like oxygen. It is there. It just is. So when you're listening to this, and when you're going back and you're sitting up there asking this question, who does this guy think he is? I don't think anything as far as who I am. I know. I know who I am. Thinking is for doubters. I don't doubt anything. I know who I am. And I know I didn't commit this crime. You don't. But I do. So you can run run your mouth all day about what you think happened. You've got no facts to support it. And as long as your client, as long as your witness refuses to come forward and make their case about what they allege that I've done, the doubt falls on you. So if you're so certain, get in that courtroom. I shouldn't have to wait 4 years. According to you, I did this. According to you, I'm guilty. Get in there and prove it. Make your case. Get in there and do it. You're so certain. There should be no stonewalling. There should be no obstacles thrown. You get in there and you get it done. You're so certain. Prosecute. I'm waiting. I show up every day. I'm there before you. I leave after you. Every time we go to court, I'm there early morning. I'm one of the first people to walk into that courtroom. I'm there before the judge shows up. Now, why the hell am I so zealous? Why is there so much zeal on my part to get in that courtroom and get this done? And it's been 4 years. It says a lot about your credibility. It says a lot about the credibility of your witness. It says a lot about the credibility of your case. I'm on the attack because I've got no choice. You smeared my name. You besmirched me in every way possible. Now, I've made no personal attacks on you, but you did a damn good job when you went after me. And now, I say, let's get it on. I don't want to hear another excuse on June 29th. Let's get it done. If you show any fear, it'll be by you coming on June 29th and saying you're not ready. And right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, I will make it evident. Every day you don't show up, I will make it clear. I will spread the word. I will blast it to the heavens. I will make everybody know that you lack the conviction to get in that courtroom. And I want to just make one last thing clear. Has anybody ever heard me say drop the charges? Nope. Everyone else has come to me and said, damn, why don't they just drop the charges? You never heard me say it. I don't want you to drop them. I want you to get into that courtroom. I want you to prove your case. It's not to embarrass you. I want you to make your case. You dragged me out of the life that I knew, and you brought me to this place. Now come full circle. Now go through with it. Never asked you to drop anything. In fact, your own witness did. Why is that? Let's go. That's the way I look at it. Let's go. I didn't make this case. You did. On a little side note, just so everybody knows, I also didn't make it a race case, did I? Mr. Hattleman, you remember your little line? How important it was? How important this case was to Judge Convisser when you said the age of the victim, she's white. Do you remember when you said that? It's on the record. You've pulled out all the stops. Now you're nowhere to be found. Get in the courtroom. Let's get this done. Oh, I don't have faith. I have the facts. And let's get them out there. I want you in that courtroom badly. I thirst for it. In fact, you're almost inching to the point where I want you in that courtroom about as much as I want Obama out of office. Can you believe that? I want him out of office more than I want you in the courtroom. Probably because I need that man to get the hell out of the White House. You're almost there. I want you in that courtroom. I don't give a damn if the press isn't there. I want my day in court. That's all I want. That's all I've been asking for months. Call the media. Tell them how bad I want you in there. That's all I'm asking. That's all I am asking is for you to get out there and get it done.
What are you prepared to do? Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I don't know how to get him.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
On the Radio, and we're back 22 minutes after the hour on this Friday, the end of your week, June the 1st, 2012, our 100th show. And I'm happy to say that we've lasted this long. We've made plenty of inroads, so I'm really, really happy to be a part of this show and with the guys doing what it is that we do here on a regular basis. Every day trying to entertain and talk about the topics and the issues and, you know, giving you our perspective. Usually I'm right. Usually. I think I'm up to 80% now on the I'm right meter. Self-proclaimed I'm right meter. I think I'm there. A thing that I'm absolutely right about, and I know this is going to create a firestorm with my liberal friends, but the experiment is over, ladies and gentlemen. Barack Obama's days are numbered as President of the United States. Those days are over. Enjoy the last 6 months, or less than that right now, but enjoy them. You accomplished a great feat. Those of you who voted for him because he's black, you accomplished a great feat, and you should be proud of yourselves. You elected the first black president. Hooray. But his tenure is coming to an end. He will not bring the unemployment rate below 8%, as promised in February of 2009, a month into his presidency, in signing a $800 billion plus stimulus package, and after $5 trillion of debt, more than any other president in history, he has failed on every one of his policies. And there is no way that he can be reelected. Get a grip. It's over. Now, I'm sorry to have to report that news to you. Let me rephrase that. I'm not sorry that I have to report that news to you. It's a wrap. Democrat and Democrat policies are no more. Right now, there has been a fundamental change in the way that we view things. Liberal media is on notice. Liberalism is on notice. Everything that we have seen in the past 3 years has re-energized conservatism in ways that cannot be denied. And this president has done more to energize the conservative base than known to man. And conservatism has to rethink the way that it goes into the future and to ensure that liberal policies and liberalism will never be the meme of this country. Attacking capitalism will never happen again. Class warfare will never happen again. We have a new focus, and conservatism is on the rise. Thank you, Andrew Breitbart. Thank you, The Daily Caller, and guys like Tucker Carlson. Thank you, Matt Drudge. Thank you, Brett Bozell. Thank you, Sean Hannity. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh. This has been our proving ground these 3.5 years. And the days of liberalism come to a crashing halt. And the experiment is over. Now, folks are probably wondering, what does he mean, the experiment? Is he the experiment? You know what experiment I mean. Liberalism in its strongest form. Guys like Barack Obama. A white man's greed. Remember that? It's an audacity of hope. Remember? More money wasted on a cruise ship than Haiti has in a year. Barack Obama. Class warfare. Spread the wealth around. That all came from Barack Obama. Now we don't just vet the president. Now his record speaks for itself. The real unemployment numbers are at 14%, plus 14%. But today, the unemployment rate went back up. It's been coming down. It went down to 8.1 and then it went back up. The policies are not working. Nothing works. Socialism, government spending doesn't work. Now I hope we get change. And we're going to get it. You're going to lose. And you can scream a war on women. You can scream racism. You can scream Jim Crow. You could scream all types of racism. It doesn't matter. It's not resonating. His policies don't work. And it's over. Take the L. Just like we took the L in 2008. Take the L. Gentlemen, am I off base here?
No, I think he's going to get shellacked.
He can't help but get shellacked.
I mean, he's going to carry the usual suspects. You know, he'll carry some states in the Northeast, like he'll carry Massachusetts and New York State, and he'll carry California and the crunchy people in the Northwest. But South and Southwest and Texas and Midwest, I don't see him being supported. I mean, the economy is bad and there's no jobs. Like, he's not going to carry Florida, man. This place is an economic wasteland.
I heard Florida is really, really doing bad. And that gay marriage thing didn't help.
The job thing here is awful, man. I mean, I'll tell you my county, right? My county based its economy on retirees. You know, the standard thing was people would retire from New York, and they'd come down with a bunch of money they got from selling the house they bought in the 60s, right? Wow. And they'd build a new house. Well, they don't do that anymore because they can't sell their house in New York, and they're not building houses here anymore. So our construction and retiree-based economy went, and it's done. I think my county's probably sitting at 15 to 20%
unemployment.
15
to 20% unemployment?
Oh, easily.
You're in the north. You're in the northern part of Florida.
A couple counties north of like Clearwater.
Okay, all right. I know Clearwater pretty well.
Yeah.
That's actually, you know, oddly enough, Clearwater is a technology mecca, isn't it?
Technology and strippers. Yeah.
I didn't know.
And science. And Scientologists.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the world headquarters for Church of Scientology is in Clearwater.
That's right. That is right.
They own the Fort Harrison Hotel. That's where they killed that Lisa McPherson woman.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's devastated here. I mean, the only people, well, you know, he could win Florida if they allow all the people who are not supposed to vote. You know what I mean? All the illegal voters that the state was trying to purge and the feds and Holder just stepped in and said, you can't do that.
Right. I do. That was a big story today about the voter.
Yeah, and there are thousands that they know of. So it could be tens of thousands. Who knows? But if it's a legitimate vote, I don't think he's going to win here because people who have no jobs are usually going to vote out the guy who's in office.
Yeah, Florida, for him, I mean, considering, I mean, Florida's sort of considered a swing state, isn't it, Mike?
Well, Florida's weird because South Florida has a lot of retired, excuse my language, Yankees. And
okay.
The Yankees tend to vote Democratic. You know, Miami and Boca and Lauderdale and all that is not really the South. It's like a chunk of New York broke off and floated south. You know what I mean?
Right. It's funny because when I went to Miami, that's what I called it. I called it New York with palm trees.
Exactly. But once you get toward the middle of the state and you start heading north, then it's a very conservative southern redneck state.
Mm. Oh, that's really?
Yeah, really.
So you're saying north of regions like Orlando are really what we consider sort of like the south-south.
Yeah, exactly. You can even call Orlando south because other than Orlando, I mean, that Orange County, there's nothing there but, you know, rednecks. You know, once you leave Orlando, that's the country.
Really?
And then the panhandle.
So you're telling me I should rethink Pinellas County?
Oh, no. Pinellas County is – well, I wouldn't go to Pinellas County because it's dangerous.
Whoa! You're gonna have to clear that up. What do you mean dangerous?
Yeah. St. Petersburg is one of the most dangerous cities in the country. They have all kinds of crime and shootings there.
By means of what? I mean, when you say shootings and crimes, I mean what are they based upon?
The drugs or just ignorance?
Yeah. You know, it's South St. Petersburg is like Beirut. I wouldn't go there.
Wow.
Yeah. No. No. Now, no.
Hold on. Wait.
Now, Hulk
Hogan lives there.
Hulk Hogan's a multimillionaire living in his condo on the beach.
Right.
In Clearwater.
Let me ask you a comparison to a place like North Carolina. Because the two states that a lot of people are paying attention to is Florida and North Carolina. So when they consider, when they use the term swing states, I think that this election will really, really base itself on Florida and North Carolina. North Carolina is still up in the air, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are saying he's losing a lot of votes, Barack Obama, mm-hmm. that is losing a lot of votes in North Carolina. But for me, it's too close to tell, because I think that North Carolina still has a strong Democratic base. Where Florida, on the other hand, because of the 2000 election and, of course, in 2004, it's very etchy or edgy in that area. With the unemployment rate, as you said, in your own county, which is so huge, do you think that this is a strong possibility? Do you think it's closer in North Carolina than it is in Florida, or do you think that the votes are the same?
Well, North Carolina is weird because you've got the colleges, right, and Duke and NC State and North Carolina, those areas are always going to vote Democratic because, right. They're the intelligentsia.
Right.
And, you've got a large black population. And as we know, other than you, Reese, black people tend to vote Democrat. But the myth of the Southern Democrat, white Democrat, that's pretty much done. There are very few white Southern Democrats anymore.
Really?
In North Carolina, no. You're right. I agree with you. I think I said it on a show a couple of weeks ago. With the redistricting of North Carolina, they've pretty much rounded up all the blacks into one huge strip of land, and they're not looking for them to vote anyways.
Well, they lost. The Democrats ran off Southern Democratic voters. Everybody thinks it was integration and all that. It's not. The Democratic Party lost the white Southerner when they embraced gun control as one of the bases of their party.
Right.
And, look at Al Gore. Al Gore couldn't carry Tennessee when he ran for president.
That's right. That's his home state.
His home state. And why do you think that is? It ain't because of global warming. It's because he was a gun grabber and those hillbillies didn't want him taking their shotguns.
Very, very true about Al Gore. And, a lot of people, they miss that point. I've seen very few people report about the Al Gore election in 2000 that said, look, man, if you can't win your own state, that to me is a clear indication you don't deserve to win at all.
I mean, 1,000 times at least.
I mean, even Mondale won Minnesota.
Yeah, four
places. That was the only state he won, but he won his own state.
Right, wow, that is a very, very valid point. Let me move on. I got to ask you guys about this. It was a story that got a little bit of attention, at least on conservative websites and in conservative news like Fox. Have you guys covered this gender abortion story?
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, live action, which is a conservative group that's a pro-life group, of course, did two sting operations in Texas and in New York where they had girls go in and ask for abortions based upon the gender of the fetus. In essence, to say, could they come there to abort the fetus or ways that they could abort the fetus if they first found out that the child was a female? And what ways they could go around the system to get an OBGYN and to get a sonogram to find out the gender. And when you find out the gender, it's like when you're 21, is that a 21 weeks, which would be considered a late-term abortion. They were teaching them ways to get around that and to get the abortion done on based upon gender specification.
Hmm.
It's already gotten one girl fired in Texas. The woman in New York, there's been no reports on whether or not she lost her job. But there was a vote by the House. They couldn't get two-thirds vote in the House to stop gender abortion. It turns out 156 Democrats voted to keep it on the books, who pretty much voted against it. And only 10 Democrats voted with the Republicans.
They probably support female circumcision, too.
Well, of course they do. Of course they do. And, you know, they said that this is some sort of attack towards a Planned Parenthood, an attack on women, but the bill is to stop gender abortion, and yet they voted against it. 156 Democrats in the House voted against it, saying that their position was they thought that that was a personal choice, that, look, if a person wants to abort a child because of its gender, that's okay.
Yeah, they just think that, you know, it should be abortion without question, no matter what. And I'm sure that some of the radicals would do it up to the third trimester. And, I'm kind of a pro-choice kind of person. Just because as a man, it's not my issue, okay? And right. I think there's reasons to have an abortion. You know, if you find out you don't want to have the baby in it early, fine. If the kid's going to be born with Down syndrome and you find the amnio, you want to do that, I don't care. But aborting it because it's a female, I mean, that's beyond the pale. That's ridiculous.
It's China.
It's China.
That's exactly what it is. It's China.
I don't want to live in a country with a shortage of women. That sucks.
Well, I think you're right. It was funny because I heard the statistic is that in China, there are 20 men to one female in that country that's got 1.3 billion.
And eventually what they're going to end up doing is they're wiping out their own race is what they're going to end up doing.
Well, they don't believe, remember that their reason is population control because of 1.3 billion people, they believe they have enough as is. So now they've even adopted infanticide, where if a woman is found to be pregnant with a girl, they'll kill the child. And that's the policy of China.
So then are all the Chinese guys going to have to become gay? I mean, like prison gay? Or gay out of desperation? Or are they going to invade Korea and take comfort women like the Japanese did?
They're going to have to seek comfort or relationships elsewhere.
Well, you know, the Japanese are working on the sex robot that could be the savior for China.
Oh, I'm so sick of that story. The sex robot. That is absolutely scary. I saw that damn robot, and I'm still afraid of it.
Look, have you ever, you probably haven't because you're a fine, upstanding, moral individual, but there's a product that's sold called a Real Doll. Have you heard of it?
Real Doll. No, I'm sure I've heard of that.
Yeah, well, the Real Doll in its current iteration looks pretty realistic. I mean, it looks like a passed-out girl. It looks pretty good, actually, right? But the day that some smart Asian person figures out just enough artificial intelligence and robotics to make a Real Doll move around and act like a girl, that's my theory as to what kills off the human race. Because if you're 18 and you can go down to your local sex robot shop and finance yourself a Lindsay Lohan bot, you're never going to date again.
Oh, that in and of itself is scary. Well, thanks, Frank. When we come back, we'll talk about liberal media bias as reported by Bill O'Reilly yesterday on the O'Reilly Factor. We'll be right back. It's the 100th show. Peace on the radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb thoughts,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names
because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Mill. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, what makeup at Bloomingdale's update her slutty flight attendant look?
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb squats, Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back right here on blogtalkradio.com. About 13 minutes to the top of the hour. Okay, so I have to play this audio. And I'm glad that Derek is on the line right now, because I want him to hear this. And the bottom line is that Barack Obama will have a large amount of help in his reelection. And it will come from the media. A strong part of his support will come from the media. And we know, I don't have to tell anybody, that that shouldn't be the case. The media should be fair. They should just report the stories. It should not lean any way whatsoever. So Bill O'Reilly in his Talking Points memo yesterday, and forget about what it is you think about Bill O'Reilly. I always say, forget about who the messenger is. Just listen to the facts. And these are the facts, like it or not. Dan Rather was on Jon Stewart's show and tried to debunk this idea that the media is liberally slanted. Oh, it's just not true. All the networks, it's not like that. So, of course, research was done. And this was Bill O'Reilly's talking points based on the facts.
Last night, Dan Rather, who canceled his appearance on The Factor, talked with Jon Stewart about liberalism in the national media.
I know what they, is what they believe, that CBS, NBC, ABC, chock full of liberals. Not true. What chock full of people wanted to give honest news, straightforward news, and voted both ways in many elections. I'm not saying that nobody in the newsroom was liberal any more than I'm saying anybody conservative. Frequently what happened, people who are described as us and conservatives want to say, I work at CBS News and you know almost everybody there was liberal. Mm-hmm. What they really mean is not everybody there agreed with him all the time. This is a sham.
All right, with all due respect to Mr. Rather, his statement is a sham. He's not telling the truth. Here are the facts. After the presidential race between George Bush and John Kerry, the University of Connecticut surveyed 300 journalists nationwide. The study found that 52% of the journalists voted for Kerry. Just 19% went for Bush. The rest would not answer the question. In 2008, NBC News identified 143 journalists who made political contributions. 125 of them gave to the Democratic Party. Just 16 out of 143 donated to the Republican Party. Two gave to both parties. Also in 2008, the Pew Research Center studied 43 news outlets in America in the run-up to the Obama-McCain election. About 35% of the stories done on Barack Obama by those organizations were positive. Less than 20% were positive when it came to John McCain. Those are the facts, Mr. Rather, and they're grim if you believe the media should be fair and balanced. Just today, the website Politico ran a story about how the Washington Post is covering Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. Post reporter David Moranis has a new book out called Barack Obama, The Story. In that book, Moranis documents the president's drug use as a young man. It was extensive. The Washington Post ran that story on page 6. But earlier this month, the Post ran a 5,500-word story on page 1 detailing Mitt Romney's high school hazing resume. I mean, come on. Fair-minded people know that much of the media is actively working to see that Barack Obama is reelected. Dan Rather would never admit that, but it's absolutely true. So the question becomes, how much will the liberal press influence the election?
A strong and, I believe, important question. Do you believe, Mary, that it's going to influence the election today, even though there's been more reporting about liberal bias than it was 4 years ago?
Do I believe what? That more reporting about
liberal bias? No, do you believe that the liberal bias in the media will have the same effect it did 4 years ago? What I'm saying is that according to this research, there were so many people who were, of course, in the tank for Barack Obama, but now with places like, of course, our show, Breitbart, MRC-TV, Newsbusters, The Daily Caller, the fact that they've been put on notice, the fact that these people have been challenged, do you think that they'll have the same effect that they did 4 years ago?
The liberals won't, no. Barack Obama's not going to win this presidency.
JC, Mike?
Well, you know, my theory on how Obama got elected, right, everybody likes to think that, you know, it was because there was massive black voter turnout and they finally got black people to go and vote. And that doesn't make sense at all because black people only like, what, 10% of the population, 12%. Barack Obama got elected with guilty white people votes who finally found a guy who was kind of black they could vote for. And I don't think those people are going to vote for him again because they have no jobs.
<You know? laughs> Right. They're sort of like they have a buyer's remorse, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, this was their one chance to say, I can prove that I'm not a racist. And
right.
Now they did that, and they got screwed, so now they're going to vote for the walking Mormon Ken doll.
You're not a Romney fan when you say that, I'm assuming.
You know, there's a bumper sticker I saw that said, all right, fine, Romney 12. You know, I'm an unabashed Ron Paul supporter.
Okay.
But you know, look, if I have to choose between Obama getting elected and voting for Romney, I'm going to vote for Romney and hold my nose.
Okay, fair enough. JC, what do you think? And he's gone to sleep on us.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Wow. I've been mulling it over for some time.
There's some strong numbers there, JC, about liberal bias. Those numbers are pretty strong, man. 143 people at NBC, and you only got, what, less than 20? Who voted for Republicans, who donated to Republicans, that's a considerable amount.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's the beauty of this country. You don't have to have a political quota. You don't have to fill one at work.
But wait a minute. as a journalist, isn't it important to be impartial? Isn't it important to be, you know, and to be unbiased? I mean, it's to be objective, not subjective. And as he points out in his last, the last part was, and I thought that was important, what Mitt Romney did when he was 18 years old was a 5,500-word story on the front of the Washington Post. But then a guy writes a book about Obama's drug use, which is clearly more relevant, as opposed to some cutting an ambiguously gay kid's hair. You put that on page six?
If they want to attack Romney's past, the place they should attack is how come he did his Mormon missionary work to avoid going to war in Vietnam. Okay. Do you folks know where the Mormon Church sent Mitt Romney to do his missionary work?
Please tell me.
France.
Wow.
France.
That's not far from Normandy.
he didn't go to Uganda, okay, or the Philippines or any place else to try to convert people and build villages.
Mitt Romney
went to France to try to convert French people to Mormonism.
Well, no, that makes sense to me. Now, that's a legitimate argument. That, to me, is a legitimate argument, because that's what I thought when they talked about Bill Clinton and how he got out of going to the Vietnam War by going to Oxford.
Yeah. I mean, do you realize how ludicrous
missionary work in France?
Not just missionary work, but you're going to try to convert the French to Mormonism. The French, the fornicating, wine-drinking, cigarette-smoking, chocolate-loving, coffee-drinking French. You're going to convert them to a religion where they can't do any of that stuff?
Right.
No, he didn't even get a lousy assignment. His daddy pulled strings and got him the best possible Mormon assignment.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm going to have to say, I got to stop you there. I got nothing against nepotism. I just don't. Because if it was me and I had the way to keep my son out of harm's way, I'm sorry, I'm probably going to do it.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, if you're going to avoid Vietnam by doing missionary work, and I don't have a problem with that, but you should at least have to go live in a mud hut and swat flies.
Okay, I'll agree with you there. He should really have to endure something really arduous.
And his punk ass is over there in France arguing about the amount of damn butter you put in croissants.
And yet he was a huge
croissant batter.
He marched in favor of the Vietnam War, but yet dodged his service to go hang out in France. That kind of hacks me off a little bit.
Okay, but hold on. We still got Barack Obama. Was Barack Obama old enough to go to war?
No.
He was born in 61, right?
Right.
He would have been 10.
He was old enough to go to war.
No. He wasn't old enough to go to the Vietnam. He would have been 15.
No, not to Vietnam, but in
Kenya.
He could have enlisted, but by the time he was old enough, there was no draft. I don't sweat anybody on that one.
Yeah, nor do I. Okay, so see, he would have avoided that at all costs. But what do you feel about the fact that, do you think that now the media has been called out for their bias, that they're going to have as much of an influence this time around than they did the last time?
No. No, I think that enough, you know, you mentioned all these radio talk show hosts, these conservative people, and you miss somebody with a massive audience, and that's Alex Jones.
Why not?
Alex Jones has a huge audience. He draws more people than CNN.
Well, nobody draws anything. I mean, CNN has got literally 69,000 viewers.
Alex has got millions of listeners.
Well, I'm gonna check out. Send me a link to Alex Jones, so I can check some of that stuff out. We're gonna have to wrap it up. I can't believe it actually went that quick. That's our show for today, our 100th show. We're back. We will be here on Monday. We will of course return with Friday Night Dance Party. I've got something new planned for you, and I got a whole bunch of other new stuff that I'm gonna be bringing to the show. I'd like to thank everybody who's, of course, come, you know, back to the show. Of course, Mike in Florida, our, you know, friendly neighborhood white guy. JC the producer, Derek the bounty hunter, James Montgomery, the Kool-Aid man, Mary Mary, why you bugging? And of course, I'm Reese on the radio. We are back. We are in full effect. Enjoy the weekend. Stay out of the storm. Mary's scared to death of it. The rain is frightening her. And we will see
Whatever.
You next week. Enjoy the weekend. We love you.